Today's share sponsor is Leilui Nishmas Mordechai Ben Menachem Mendel Miller. He was an Ish Neman, a trustworthy person, loyal, Ohev Toyer of Olamzeha, love Torah, and those who learn Torah. We're up to Perek Vav. The Plishtim captured the Aron, it traveled around, and it wreaked havoc among all the Plishtim, and they suffered from the hemorrhoids, which wasn't just plain hemorrhoids, it was internal hemorrhoids, which I'm told is, by our medical expert, is much more painful than, even without the, this was an especially painful one because it was a special makkah from Hashem. But in general, internal hemorrhoids are excruciating. And this was compounded, we learned that the mice came and entered into their body and caused damage, and we'll see later the mice also in general were running around the fields and ruining the fields and the land also in the area of the Plishtim. Pasuk Aleph, Perek Vav. Vayhi Aron Hashem b'shtei Plishtim shiva chadashim. The Aron of Hashem was in the field of the Plishtim for 7 months. This whole episode, from the time that it was captured till we're going to see right now it's going to be sent back, it took 7 months. Part of that time Moshe was bringing it back to the land of the Plishtim and going from one city and then to another city and then to the third city, and then it was in the field for a while, and until it was actually sent back, it was a 7 month process. It's Midas HaRachamim, Aron Hashem, the punishment is over now, and we're going to see what happens. In the next few Pesukim, you know, it's sometimes beneficial to look ahead at the Perek that's coming up, learn through it quickly, see what questions you have, and then you notice how the Mefarshim answer all the questions. But in the previous Perek, it seems to say they had decided for sure, they gathered together all of the governors of the Plishtim in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and they said, let's send back the Aron. That seems to be the unanimous opinion. Let's send back the Aron. Now we're going to see, they're going to ask, should they send it back? And the answer is going to be, if you decide to send it back, and then they're going to add in Pasuk Gimel, if you send it back, you'll be all healed from your afflictions. And then like a few Pesukim later, they seem to be in doubt in Pasuk Hey, perhaps, Ulai Yokilas Yodo Me Aleichem, maybe the punishment will go away. Then the suggestion given is, if you don't send it back, you're hardening your heart like Paro. The Pesukim seem to bounce back and forth. If they decide that they are going to send the Aron back, they're not going to send the Aron back. Let's see how the Mefarshim explain it. Pasuk Beis. Vayikru Plishtim Lakoanim V'Lakosmim Lemor. The Plishtim, again, the governors had all gotten together and decided to send back the Aron. But they still had their doubts. So they called the Kohanim and the Kosmim. Why do they call those two groups of people? The Kosmim are people involved in Kishon, in the black magic, the sorcery, the hidden things that aren't so obvious. Somehow they knew, or they were supposed to know. So the Kosmim would be able to say whether this plague really came as a result of the Aron. In other words, it seemed to be pretty evident. I mean, they captured the Aron wherever the Aron went. There was this plague. It wasn't in the other cities. And then, in fact, they went from one city to another by a very roundabout route to make sure that it wasn't a naturally traveling plague, but it was clear it had to do with the Aron. But maybe not. After all, the Aron had been captured. It seems like the Aron was not able to stand up against the Plishtim. They still had their doubts. So the Kosmim would be able to say, is this for sure because of the Aron? They also called the Kohanim, their priests. Because the question is, how do you transport such a holy item? Let's assume that it is the Aron. And they're going to send it back to show that they did the wrong thing. How are they going to send it back in the proper manner as is befitting the Aron? So they call the priests that know these religious matters. And they figure the Kohanim will be able to answer. So together these two groups can explain, Manasel Aron Hashem. What should we do with this Aron of Hashem? Hodiyunu, inform us, Bamenish Alchenuli Makomo. How do we send it back? Whereas on one hand, they have the question, should we send it back? Manasseh, what should we do with the Aron? Should we leave it here? Should we send it back? What should we do with the Aron? On the other hand, they sort of assume we're probably going to have to send it back. Now, how do we send it back? But they're hedging their question as they themselves aren't sure. Vayomru. So the Kohanim and the Kosmim said, those two questions are difficult to answer. You want to know, should we send the Aron back? Should we not? One thing I can tell you is like this. If you're going to send back the Aron of Elokei Yisrael, the Jewish God, Al Teshalchu Oso Reikom, don't send it back empty. Now, don't send it back just an empty, just the Aron by itself. Ki Hashiv Tashivu Lo Osham. You have to return some type of a guilt offering. Could be they were aware of the fact, like Lahavdil, the din in the Torah, if somebody used Hekdish, you have to return it, and there's a korban to bring in Asha Me'ilois, and you have to add on a chaimish, a fifth. You have to add on extra payment, and it's not enough to just say, well, you used this item of Hekdish, get send it back. You gotta, and that's the same lashon of the Torah. It's called an Asha Me'ilois. But they said you have to return back and return an Asham. The question was, how should we send it back? I say it could be they were questioning whether they have to send back extra gifts. Or it could be it was a simple question of, do you send it back on a wagon? Do you have people carrying on the shoulders like the Yidden were supposed to do, carry it? Bakos if you so. They weren't out. How do you send it back? So the answer was, first of all, if you send it back, you don't send back the Aron by itself. Hashav Toshivu Lo Osham, you have to return it with an Osham showing that you're accepting the guilt. Oz Teirofu, and then if you do like that, you'll be healed, Vinoda Lachem, and it'll be known by you. Lomalo Sosu Yodel Mikem, why shouldn't Hashem turn away his hand of anger and the punishment? Why shouldn't the punishment go away? First of all, in other words, if they would send back the Aron as it is, you're right, I would assume that there will be no more plague, no new people would get afflicted and punished. In other words, the Aron's gone, it's sent back, the Aron's gone. But all those people who are suffering from these hemorrhoids, all the people who are in anguish, they're not going to be healed just because the Aron's gone. Once they have this affliction, they have to do something that it should be healed. Now, if you send back the Aron in the proper way, you send it back as it with an osham, then you'll be healed. Vinoda, they'll have a refuah, those that are suffering. And even if possibly you have other offenses, and that's why Hashem is punishing you, and the Aron, it's not just capturing the Aron, there's other problems that you have. But once you've acknowledged the little thing, in other words, you know you were wrong for taking the Aron. Even if there's another offense, and returning the Aron is not enough, but at least Vinoda Lechem, Hashem will certainly let us know what we're doing wrong. And Lama Lo Sosu Yodel Mikem, why shouldn't he stop the punishment? Or as if we know we did wrong, we send back the Aron, and we send it back with a present, at least with those that are sick should be healed, and if not, we should be informed what to do. But is it the Aron that's responsible? They haven't answered. But if you send it back, do it like this. Vayom Ruso, the people say, what kind of a guilt offering, what kind of an Oshim should we return with the Aron? Vayomru. So they said, Mispar Sarne Plishtim. You gotta acknowledge that this was a punishment that afflicted all of the governors of the Plishtim and the people. Send back based on the number of the governors. There were five distinct groups. And for that five groups, send back Chamisha Tchorei Zohav. Five of these golden hemorrhoids. I don't know exactly how you make an image of a hemorrhoid. I don't know. Somehow it looks like a swollen veins, but somehow they make some type of image of that made out of gold. I say the ksiv is apole, meaning it's high up in the body. It's an internal makkah. But somehow send some type of guilt offering like that. But chamisha achbrezov and five gold mice to acknowledge that that was running all across the land. Because this was one magefa against all of them, all the sarnechem, and against your governors. We're all suffering from it, and therefore that's what you should show to show your guilt. It's interesting, the Malbim, by the way, points out that among the naturalists, he mentions this was like a nace, because it was believed that if somebody's suffering from a certain type of affliction, he should divert his mind to think of other things. And alternative medicine is big on that guided imagery and meditation, and you know, it's a person's thoughts, like it's documented, more people who have heart attacks on a Monday or the day after the holidays, you know, they studied among the Goyim, but like December 26th or after the Chinese New Year, they documented there's a greater increase in heart attacks because people just feel let down and they don't feel the... If a person's able to project his moods and his thoughts, it affects his well-being. So the normal thing would be, in other words, okay, something was wrong, let's totally remove our mind from it, send back the urn and send back a gift of something else. But here the nace was they took the very thing that caused it and they made it a gold thing, something that catches the attention, something that people look at, and something they put work into this because they were showing that it's definitely from Hashem. And in other words, they took something that, according to their field of medicine, would be the worst thing to do, to focus on the makkah, but take that and give it back to Hashem to show that it's all from Hashem and they're acknowledging their guilt and they should be healed. He points out a similar idea when in the Midbar, when the snakes attacked Klal Yisrael, so Moshe was told to take a nechash, nechoshes, a copper snake, and put it on a pole, and whoever looks at it would be healed. Again, that was, it was the type of thing that al piderech hateva, the way they worked, they would have done the opposite thing. But to focus on, to obsess with it, it would be the exact opposite to do, if not the fact that they believed that it came from Hashem, and therefore, that's why they did this. So they're going to send back these images in Pasuk Hey. Basisim tzalmei techorechem, make these like statues of the hemorrhoids, v'tzalmei achberechem, and the images of the mice, hamashchisim es ha'aretz, that are destroying the land. V'nesatim leilokei Yisrael kavod, and you'll give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavod, the honor of acknowledging it's from Him. So it sounds like they're pretty convinced it's from Hashem. But they themselves say a moment later, Ulai, perhaps, and I'm not even sure, but perhaps Yokelis Yodome Aleichem, Hashem will lighten his hand, or Mayalaluk Heichem, and from your God. Remember Dagon was there, the statue was fell on the ground, and then it fell a second time, and the hands and the head were severed. Hashem will let up from there Avodah Zarah, or Mayal Artzachem, and from the land. Now they throw on a real musu, but you see what an impression the events of Tanakh had on the Goyim. This was hundreds of years later, but they still recalled, V'lom ha-sechavdu es-levavchem. Why are you hardening your hearts? Kasher kibdu Mitzrayim u-paro es-libom. Like Mitzrayim and Paro hardened their hearts. You're acting just like they. Just like they did. Halo kasher his'al el-bohem. The same way that Hashem mocked them and made fun of them, by Yishalchum, and the end result was the Egyptians sent the Yidden away by Elechu, and they went on their way. In other words, mocking them is the pshat. One makkah was brought, and then Paro changed his mind, and the makkah was taken away, and it didn't come back. Then, the Mitzrayim, obviously, they didn't let us go. A different makkah was brought. And again, Paro wanted to stop, so the makkah was taken away, and the third makkah was given. In other words, it wasn't the very fact it was almost as if, okay, Dom lasted a certain amount of time, but it never came back again. Sfardea lasted a certain amount of time, and it didn't come back again. So it's like there's always, in the back of their mind, in other words, they made fun of them. In other words, they got away from this, and then something else came. And the bottom line was they had to send out Klal Yisrael. What the Plishtim was saying was, in other words, it could be a question, is this from Hashem, is it not from Hashem? Even if it is from Hashem, maybe the makkah has a certain amount of duration, and if you wait long enough, it'll just go away by itself. Or they're questioning that. Okay, the Aron brought this plague, but it doesn't mean it's going to be ongoing forever. In other words, you might think, let's just wait it out, and that's it. On that argument, so the Kohanim and the Kosmim said, why are you hardening your hearts? That's exactly what Paro did. In fact, like by the Makkah of Tzfardeya, So Moshe said to Paro, "Lemosai atir lecha, for when should I daven that the frog should be removed?" And they were going out of their mind. The frogs were all over, right? You know the whole story. The frogs were all over, and they can't tolerate it. So Moshe says, "When should I daven? For when should I daven that it should stop?" So he would have imagined that Paro would say, "Immediately." In other words, he's asking for it to be removed right away. But in the back of his mind, you know, who knows? Maybe it's going to stop anyways. And Moshe Rabbeinu came. Obviously he called Moshe, but Moshe Rabbeinu came exactly at the moment when it was going to stop immediately, and because he knows I'm going to say immediately, I'll say immediately and I'll stop. So he said, you know what, we'll tolerate it as terrible as it is, we'll put up with it another day. If it stops tomorrow, that's pretty clear that it's from Hashem, because today it didn't stop and tomorrow it does stop. So he was ready to suffer and put up with it just to make sure, is it really from Hashem? That's exactly what there's a saying here. If the makas from the Aron and you're thinking, you know, it could be it's from Hashem, but it'll stop by itself, that's exactly what Paro did. Why are you hardening your heart like Paro? In the end, he's just going to make a mockery of you, and you're going to put up with this punishment, and you're going to have to send the Aron away anyways, just like the Yidden was sent away. So we're not answering if it's from Hashem or not, but if it's from Hashem, just send it back immediately and do it in the right way. You got to send back a present, a gift, and do it in the right way, and do it immediately. But what kind of a... How are we going to know? We got to answer the question. Is it from Hashem? Is it not from Hashem? V'ata now, k'chu v'asu agol chadosha. You should take for yourself and make a new wagon. Achas, make one new wagon. You know, like when you buy a new car, it says for the first 500 miles, you shouldn't drive too quickly, you know, whatever, you got to break it in. You take a new wagon, the wheels don't turn so well, it's a little bit stiff, it's not broken in. Take a new wagon, it's harder to pull the wagon when it's brand new. It's also a very bakovedika thing, that if you're sending back the Aron, you don't take a wagon that's been used by commoners, by a hedyid, and use that for Hashem. We're going to make a wagon specially in honor of this occasion. Ushtei poros olois. And we're also going to take two cows that olos that are nursing their babies. Now those are not the cows that are prepared to pull a heavy wagon with the Aron on it. They're not up to work. Probably you'd hitch it up with a wagon and then sit down. The cows aren't going anywhere. But you take these two cows that are nursing their young, they're probably also not going to want to move. Besides that, asher lo olo aleihem ol, they never carried a yoke before, even before they had offspring. These cows never worked. They were lazy cows. They never pulled a yoke. Vasartim es haporos bagola, and hitch up the cows to the wagon. Vahashevosim b'neim me'achareim, and then take their offspring, the young calves, turn the calves back, habois, and let it go back into the house, that the cows will be aware of the fact their offspring are being taken away from them and being put in the rear. Now, ulakachtem es aron Hashem, then you take the aron, unesatem oso el ha'agola, and place the aron on the wagon, ve'is klei hazov, with the golden kalim, asher hashivosim lo osham, that you return to Hashem to show your guilt. You take the aron, you take the gold vessels, tosimu vo'argos mitzido, and put it in a box next to the aron, v'shilachtem oso, and you'll send it v'holach, and it'll go. If it's from Hashem, that the aron is what's causing it, so you do this, the aron, Hashem will cause, they decided that obviously if Hashem wants the aron back, this will be their test, the aron will go by itself. Otherwise, naturally, the assumption would be the cows are not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere without their offspring. They're not going anywhere. They've never pulled a load in their life, and they're nursing, and these cows wouldn't go anywhere naturally. The instructions, the question is, who's giving the instructions? I assume they're all from the Kohanim and the Kosmen. The Plishtim had their own, yeah. These were Kosmen, people, Kishuv people of the Plishtim, and the Plishtim priests, they had their own religious men and own people to consult, and this was their idea. The truth is, the whole idea of a test is a very, very big chiddush, what the Plishtim were given this opportunity. You know, there's a famous Ramban, a well-known Ramban, and it's really one of the most yesoidistic Rambans. If a person has a chance, he should learn through at the end of Parshas Bo. And the Ramban mentions a number of points that are mamish, critical to the whole understanding of Yiddishkeit. And one of the points he makes is, if you think about it, there are many mitzvahs that have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim or with the belief in Hashem. In other words, if somebody has, in other words, Pesach obviously is obvious. Pesach has to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim. If somebody has chametz in his house, if somebody eats chametz, he's chayiv koras. As he's cut off from the Jewish people, it's like the worst, it's like one of the worst things he could do. And one of the, besides Bris Mila, the only other mitzvah say that a person gets koras for is not bringing a korban Pesach. In other words, if a person doesn't participate, if he doesn't bring the korban Pesach, he also gets koras. It's like one of the most, and the mitzvah of mezuzah, and then tefillin, and that we always stress that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Hashem Lakeinu, Hashem Echad, there's only one Hashem. And the Ramban makes the point, because there are many mistakes that the world out there has. There are those who don't believe in the Zabayri Yoylem, there's a creator. There are those groups that said, of course there's a creator, but he doesn't pay attention to what people do. And others say, of course he knows what people are doing, but he doesn't act on it. There's no ashkocha, no direct intervention. Yetzias Mitzrayim changed all of those assumptions. It proved it was all false. And Hashem is obviously controlling the world, and he knows what's happening, and he's taking an active role. And if it's foretold al Yedei Navi, like Moshe Rabbeinu said what was going to happen with all the Makos, it proves the power of Nevuah also. And the Ramban says the following words. He says, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yase osu moifes b'chol dor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do signs and wonders in every generation. La'ene kol Rasha o Kaifer. Just because a Rasha, or somebody who's a Kaifer, decides, you know, a guy will say, if Klai Yisrael's right, let Hashem do a miracle. Just because a Rasha decides, you know, I'd like to see a miracle, Hashem's not going to stand at attention, Kav Yochel, and give him a miracle. It's very nice you like to see a miracle. Hashem's not showing you a miracle just because you want it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzias Mitzrayim, that was the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it very clear that Klal Yisrael should know the Mantasapra Bosnei Vincha, Ben Vincha, that we should know the Makos that happened, or the way all these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we just mentioned, all of these Yisraelis were performed, that we should be fully aware of it. And that's why there are so many mitzvahs that are Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's more, you know, if a person were to sit and think about it, there's more they even think about. For instance, the whole idea of pidyon, pidyon b'chor, pidyon peterechem, you know, the firstborn that we redeem, whether it's from a person or if somebody has a firstborn animal. The whole idea of b'chor has to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Of course, the Yom Tov of Sukkot. There are many mitzvahs that a person lines up are directly connected to drive home again and again and again. There was the Yetzias Mitzrayim, we should remember it, because that's Mamash Yesoidus. Because if a guy wakes up one day and he decides he wants to see a miracle, he's not going to see it. I think Rabbi Shaul Salanter once said, you know, the mashal, it came to somebody's house, and one of the little girl was like a pianist. And he must have asked her, and you know, the Baal HaBos was saying, yeah, his little daughter Mamash plays piano like a maestra, like a concert pianist. So Rabbi Shaul Salanter might have asked her, Lou, let's see how you play the piano. So she turned to Fon, she said, what? Everybody walks in, they want to see me play the piano, I should play the piano? Let them look at the certificate on the wall. That's why I got a diploma. But the guy puts in his hours, he gets a diploma, you can look at the diploma, you know what he knows. What, everyone who comes in, I have to prove my worth? They said, that's Mamash. What the Ramban is saying, or the Kodesh Baruch Hu has it written up in the Torah, we all saw it, exactly what happened, and just because a guy wakes up and he wants to see a test, Hashem's not going to do it. And yet by the Plishtim, they were given this opportunity, and it could be, again, it's Chazal related to the fact that Avram gave those seven sheep, the seven kvosim he gave to Avimelech. There was an argument over that well of water in Parshas Vayera, and Avram made a treaty with Avimelech, and he gave him the seven sheep, And Hashem said to him, you gave the 7 sheep to the Plishtim, and you shouldn't have made a treaty with them, because the Plishtim are like the Goyim of Eretz Yisrael. You shouldn't have made a treaty with them and given them the sheep. Chayecho, there's going to be a punishment. Before we mention about how 7 tzaddikim were killed by the Plishtim in a previous this year. Mefarshim connected also with the fact that the Aron was in the field of the Plishtim for 7 months, that number 7. But somehow it could be the Plishtim were entitled for an extra show of favor that other Goyim didn't get. The very fact they captured the Aron, and as we mentioned, the idol fell down, and then there was a second time they stood up the idol, and again it fell down, and they weren't punished initially, and the first city that it came to, the punishment was more minor. As it went on, it got more severe. It was, they were shown a certain a grace. And here also, the very fact they said they're going to test Hashem, we're going to see what happens. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to go along with it, as it is, and they were shown this sign that Hashem is taka. The problem is that they took the Aron, and that's why they're being punished. Uri'isim, you'll see, in derech gevulo yale, if the paros, the cows, together with the Aron, if it goes up toward the border, yale, it's going up, because it was an uphill route. The Plishtim were by the seashore. Could be it's going traveling inland. Could be it was uphill terrain. But if it goes up towards the border, Beis Shemesh, who asa lanu es haroa hagedol hazos, then you'll know that the Aron is what did this terrible punishment to us. Vimlo, and if it doesn't go, the Yodana will know, kilo yado nagabanu. It's not the hand of Hashem that struck us. Mikrohu hayalanu. It was something that happened to happen. It was a mikro, it was happening, but it's not divinely ordained. It has nothing to do with the Aron. In other words, 1 minute they were convinced, they tested again and again in 3 cities, but as soon as one test failed, it's not the Aron. One of the tzaddikim said to a kofer, there are no answers. To a maimon, there are no questions. If somebody believes in Hashem, certain things they don't understand. It's not like you have a question. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously the things we don't understand. So, you know, it's not a question how this happened, how that happened. You're right, I don't know, and that's it. But it's not like I have a question that's bothering me. To a kai, for somebody who denies, there's no answers. Because whatever you answer, it just doesn't believe. So here it can be shown to them again and again and again that it's from Hashem, and yet if they'll do another test, and there's always that gnawing doubt. Even if this would happen, there's that gnawing doubt. We'll see that even when the Aron's returned. Now, this is supposed to be the litmus test, and the Aron is returned. The Plishtim went back home, and they didn't become Yidden. They didn't change their life, and as they went back to their Avodah Zarah, it didn't have any effect. In words, as much as you can convince them, you can't convince them. There's not the Vayasu Anoshim Kain. So the people did this. Vayikhu shte paros olos. They took 2 cows that were nursing their young. Vayasrim bo agolo. And they tied them to the wagon. Vespeneim kolu vaboyis. And they tied up the young ones, the calves, in the house. Vayosimu es aron Hashem el ho agolo. They placed the aron of Hashem to the wagon. And I think the Das Soif from my soul was medayik. They put it. It doesn't say on the wagon, it says to the wagon. Meaning, it was a point that we haven't really discussed too much till now. But when the Aron was taken from Shiloh, there's a din v'lo yavo liros kevalas hakodesh. When they traveled in the Midbar, before they took the Aron out of the Kodesh Kadoshim, it was covered. Now, they didn't see the other Kalim were also, they were put into different bags and coverings. They didn't see the Kalim exposed. And when it was taken from Shiloh, it was mentioned that they carried it on their shoulders properly, like they were supposed to. One of the Mefarshim points out it must be for sure that they covered the Aron. And it was carried in the proper way. And could be by the Plishtim also was carried the way they received it. And they realized it was placed El Ho'agola, to the wagon, meaning it was a covered wagon. Like you find in the Midbar, Shesh Eglos tsov. They were covered wagons, and it was placed in the wagon. Later on, we'll see, one of the Mefarshim mentions that when they actually delivered the Aron, right before the Plishtim let the Aron go, they removed the covering, and the Aron was exposed, and we'll see what happened as a result, that people were actually able to see the Aron itself. But here they placed the Aron, El Hagol, on the wagon, Veis Ha'argos with the box, Veis Achbrei Hazov and the golden mice, Veis Tzalmei Tichoreihem and the images they had of their Tchoreihem, of their hemorrhoids, these images that they had made, and they put them all in the wagon, and they sent the wagon off. Vayisharno haparos badera. The cows went straight on the road, from the word yosher, they went straight. And there's a number of miracles that happened here. First of all, we can assume that the cows were in the stable. They were wherever they were, in whoever's house, or wherever they took these cows from. They weren't sitting on the highway when they decided to do this. But the cows went, baderech, onto the road. Or normally, you hitch up the cows, and you know they would go back into the stable, they would sit down, they'd go into the field to eat the grass. Yeah, they went straight to the road. Al derech beis shemesh. And then when they get to the road, which way do you turn? They turned to beis shemesh. As they went on the road toward Beis Shemesh. Now in the highway, I don't know if it's like our highways now where you have different lanes, but even their dirt roads probably had, you know, you had shrubbery growing in the road some places. You had different paths on the general route. It wasn't one flat road. Vayisharno haparos baderech. The cows went straight on the road, from the word yosher. They went straight. And there's a number of miracles that happened here. First of all, we can assume that the cows were in the stable. They were wherever they were, in whoever's house, or wherever they took these cows from. They weren't sitting on the highway when they decided to do this. But the cows went, baderech, onto the road. Or normally, you hitch up the cows, and you know they would go back into the stable, they would sit down, they'd go into the field to eat the grass. Yeah, they went straight to the road. Al derech beis shemesh. And then when they get to the road, which way do you turn? They turned to beis shemesh. As they went on the road toward beis shemesh. Now in the highway, I don't know if it's like our highways now where you have different lanes, but even their dirt roads probably had, you know, you had shrubbery growing in the road some places. You had different paths on the general route. It wasn't one flat road. There were little paths, different lanes. The cows, when they were walking on the road, they went in a straight line, in one path. Holchu haloch v'go. And they were walking and going, and they were, I think the word is lowing, the sound that the cows make, or mooing. Now, like every animal makes its own sound, the sound for a para is go. And they were making this sound as they were going. It's simple. Before I should say it shows they were like crying over the fact that they were leaving their young ones behind. And as they were crying as they were going, in fact, one of the Mefarshim, I think I saw it in the Me'am Lois, points out, you see from here, that even if a guy's suffering, he should say Shira and still do the Ratzon of Hashem. And as these cows knew, they were leaving their young ones behind, and they're crying, but they went to do it anyways, and we'll see how they sang out. But anyways, they were going on the road. V'losoru yominu smol. And the road itself very often would take a detour to go around some type of natural obstacle. When it came to these obstacles, Losurium and Usmol, the cow went straight and somehow he went over the bumps and he went over the ditches. He went straight. He didn't take any detour to make it clear that he's taking the shortest route between the place where he was and Beis Shemesh. He's going straight without being turned aside. The Sarnei Plishtim Holchim Achareihem. And the officers, the governors of the Plishtim, were walking in back of them. Now, if the people are in front, very often the cow will follow the leader. Here, the leader, the governors were in the back, and they're like having a wide open terrain, a open field in front of them, and they stick to the road without anybody leading them on or serving as the guide. Ad Gavul Beis Shemesh, until they got to Beis Shemesh. That's Poshet Pshat, what it means. Chazal see in this word Vayisharna, they could have said they went on the road, Olchu Baderech Yoshar. Vayisharna is a very unusual word. And they learn out from there that the cows sang. From the word Shira, Vayisharna HaPoros, the cows went singing as they went on the road. Not only that, but the word Vayisharna, if it's going on cows, it should have really said something like Vatosharna, with a tuff, Lashon Nekeva. Vatosha, like the Vatosharna. Vayishar, with a yud, is the Lashon Zocher, for like a man. So Chazal learned from there that now these were Nekevas, you know, they were nursing mothers, the cows. Their young ones that were the Zacharim, the young males were also singing. So they were on the road singing Shira. The ones that were left behind were saying Shira. And it's the word itself is sort of a composite of two words. In other words, if it be the Zachar animal, it should have said Vayishar. Vayishar no, the nun and the hay, a little bit of dikduk, the nun and the hay make it Lashon Nekeva. On the other hand, Vayishar is Lashon Zachar. All the cows that were involved, the mothers and the offspring, they're all singing. They're all singing on the road. In fact, the Gemara discusses in Saita and Daf Lamed Hey exactly what they sang. Exactly, for instance, there's five or six opinions exactly what song the cows sang. One shot is they sang Oz Yashir. Why do they sing Oz Yashir? What does it have to do with it? Was this incident? So Rashi says, Ki go'o go'o, that Hashem is above, he's exalted over everything and all gaivas. Really befitting only for Hashem. Go, O God, the double Lashon is that Hashem showed his power, in this case, over the God of the Plishtim. Their Avodah Zorah was destroyed, the Dagon collapsed. And he also showed it against the people of the Plishtim. There's like a double blow. Go, O God, to show that he was against their God and he was against the people. They both suffered from this Makkah. The Marsha says on Anak Gemara, first of all, sometimes, especially in Derushas, certain letters, if they sound the same, even if people are differentiated, we Ashkenazim pronounce the Ayin and the Aleph the same, but even those who pronounce the Ayin and Aleph slightly different, they're close enough that they're darshaned similarly. In fact, the Gemara in Shabbos, I think it's on Daf Ayin Zayin, discusses certain words like hagmi'ini, no, give me to drink, or chalav kidei gami, enough to take a swig of milk. The Gemara will discuss how do you spell the word hagmi'ini, with an aleph or an ayin? Or the word for pit, garinin, is it spelled with an ayin or an aleph? Because the letters are similar, and they're sometimes interchangeable when it came to darshanin. The word chalav chalav bego'o could be an allusion to the fact that they were saying ki go go. They were going, constantly singing the songs and the praises of Hashem, that he is so exalted over everything. And we mentioned in Oz Yashir also, Chil Ochaz Yoshvei Peloshes, the people living in Peloshes, as are the Plishtim, were seized with a trembling, which Peloshes is going on Kriyas Yamsuf. But here again, this was the appropriate song for the occasion, with the trembling that overtook all the people, all the Plishtim. The question with the cows singing is actually an interesting one. What exactly does it mean that the cows were singing? Ibn Ezra and the Chumash, on the beginning of the story with the Nochosh, who convinced Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, so Ibn Ezra was bothered. How did the snake talk to Adam and Chava? How did he speak to Chava and tell her to eat from the Eitz Hadas? How exactly does that happen? And he mentions that some Mephorshim learned the snake spoke in whatever snake language, and the snake communicated like a snake communicates. And Chava, obviously, who was created by Hashem directly, had an intelligence that we can only, we can't even imagine. But Chava was able to understand whatever the snake was saying. Chava was able to understand, but the snake spoke in that language. And according to that, he could learn Vatasharna HaParos. The cows sang, they were making whatever song they were making, but as the cows were going, that itself perhaps was the song to Hashem. And like Hashemayim Mesapim Kavod Kael, and Maisiyot of Magid Orakia, the skies tell over the greatness of Hashem, with Ein Omer Vein Devarim, without any words. It's not like they're saying words we understand, but the very fact that they exist and that they function the way they're supposed to function, that's the greatest way that they sing over the greatness of Hashem. And it could be the same thing with the cows, that the cows were singing on the way, meaning they were going on their way and they were making whatever sounds the cows make, and that was their form of Shira, and that's what they were singing. But L'maisa, the Gemara is not mashma way. No, the Gemara has a discussion exactly what they were saying. Again, it could be Pashad. The question is which Mizmor and Tehillim, or which words would be the most, the way we could understand the greatest, most appropriate Shira for Hashem for them to say. But Ibn Ezra says the pshat that he actually likes with the Nachash is obviously the way things worked in Sheshes Yimei Bereishis were different than our understanding. This is what I assume he means. Like, if the trees were to produce the eighth pri, that the tree should taste like the fruit, how could it be the tree didn't listen? And but obviously in Sheshes Yimei Bereishis there was some type of, I don't know, Bechir or some type of, it worked differently during Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, right? The moon tainted why the sun is just as big as the moon is. But the Nachash, he learns at that time during Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, the Nachash was given the power to speak. Obviously speaking means, it goes together with intelligence. It's not, in words, nowadays also people study insects and animals and tell you, you know, the bee finds honey, it's able to communicate and it tells the other bees to come, which is true. But it's not like the bee has an intelligence. The bee has programmed that when you sense honey, it automatically does this type of action that summons the other bees. It's not a thought-out, planned, it's not with intelligence, it's with a instinct, right? But there, during Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, he learns, obviously, the snake had an intelligence at that point and was able to speak, and it could be normal speak, and he spoke. And here also you can learn by Yisharna HaParos, the Paros spoke. You'll say to me, so if they literally spoke and the Imamish said the Shira, how could it be? We know in Pirkei Avos, among the things that were created, certain things, in other words, everything in the world that we have nowadays, Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas HaShomesh, the nature doesn't change, and whatever is here in the world of Gashmias has always been here. Could be it wasn't discovered, could be it's been adapted or modified, but it was basically all here, and we're just discovering and using what was here already. In other words, nuclear energy, weren't aware of it, but the atoms were here before, and now they just know how to crash it, how to collide them and smash them and produce the energy. But everything was here before. Those items that are not part of the normal world, but it would be needed at some point in history, were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, like Pi Ha'asom. Right, when the donkey spoke to Bilam, his mule spoke to him, and he said, "Why are you smashing me against the? Why are you acting this way to me? I don't normally bang you against the wall. I have a reason for doing it. There's a malach." That whole discussion that the donkey had with Bilam, that ability was given to him. Right, Bein Hashmoshes of the Erev Shabbos, the last moments of Maisa Bereishis, because it would be needed once. It's not part of the normal run of the world, but it was needed once. Over here, by Yisharna HaParos, either you could learn that once the Pi Ha'asim was given that ability, whenever you'll find something talking, I guess whether it's a fish or it's anything else, you should know that ability was given to the donkey to talk. And if there should be any other thing, like now, by Yisharna HaParos, the cow sang out, it's not listed as a separate miracle. It's all included in that Pi Ha'asim, that when the need arises, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the power to speak. In Perek Shira, it also mentions what they say. I say, Pasha, when you learn Perek Shira, you learn the Peshat is there. You know, not that they're literally saying those words, but right? It's right. In other words, I guess, right, you could learn like that they're saying, we don't understand, and they're saying those words, right? Okay. Vayisharna HaParos, the Paros was singing. Or it could be this, especially with the Aron, it wasn't considered like a miracle of the cows, it was a miracle of the Aron, that the Aron induced them to sing. But whatever it is, the Torah writes by Yisharna in an unusual way. Again, Poshep Shad, it means they were traveling on a straight road. They went to the road, they turned the right way, they stayed on the path, they went around, but it also an allusion that they sang praise to Hashem. In Yud Gimel, Ubeis Shemesh, the people in Beis Shemesh, Koitshim Kitzir Chitim Ba'imek. They were cutting the harvest of the wheat in the valley. Vayisu Aseinehem, the people lifted up their eyes. They were in the valley. They might have seen on one of the hills around them, the cows were traveling. Vayiru Es Ha'aron, they saw the Aron. Vayismachu Liros, and they were very happy to see it. There was a taina on Klal Yisrael that for 7 months the Aron was gone, because I'll say if a guy would have lost an Aveda, if you lost something, you go the next day and you try to get it back. And here for 7 months it was by the Plishtim. Now obviously Klal Yisrael felt, you know, they didn't really see an option. It was they mobilized for a war against the Plishtim. It's not clear exactly who started it, but it could be the Plishtim started it, but in any case they lost. So what were they supposed to do? But obviously there was a taina, they should have done something more. They should have maybe davened more. They should have done something to get back to Aron. But at least now that it showed up, by Yisim Chuliros, they were happy to see it. But we'll see, there was a taina. They were happy to see it, but this is actually a shortcoming of theirs. V'ho'agola bo'o el stei Yehoshua. The wagon came to the field of Yehoshua, Beis HaShimshi, who was in Beis Shemesh. Batamotsham, and it stood there. Or it's here, it went off of the road. This is all part of the nation. As it was walking on the road, it turns off the road and goes into his field. The first time it went off the road. Visham Evan Gedola. And over there there was a very large stone, which we'll see is appropriate for placing the Aron on the stone. Otherwise, if it's all dirt fields extending for miles in every direction, just grain fields, so we're going to see, how do you unload the wagon? Where are you going to put everything? But it was almost like, it was clear, Mina Shemayim, it turned off to Bedavka, this person in this field, where there was a large stone, Vayivaku es atzei ha'agola. They chopped up the wood of the agola. There's a question exactly who did this. The Malbim says, it must be the Plishtim did it, because the Yidden wouldn't have had the audacity that the wagon came from the Plishtim, that they should cut it up. And they were scared of the Plishtim. So they wouldn't have touched the wagon and the cows belonged to the Plishtim. Maybe they would probably take off the Aron, but they're not going to start up with somebody else's property. But the Plishtim, by Ivakos Atzi HaGola, they chopped up the wood of this wagon, which was new wood and was made specially for the Aron. They cut it up. Vesaporois, and the cows, Helu Oilul Hashem, they brought up as an Oilul Hashem. Again, some learn it was the Plishtim did it. Others learn the Plishtim instructed that Klal Yisrael should do it. And in which case, there are two opinions in Chazal. The Radak mentions them. If you learn that Klal Yisrael did it, so then it would be a Horoah Shah, a measure taken for this time in history, but it's something that ordinarily is not allowed. A Korban Oila, for instance, does not come from an akeva, it has to come from a male animal. You can't bring an oila from a cow. No, they have to bring it from the zachar. And there were a number of other things that were ordinarily not allowed, and in this case, it was allowed. A korban normally is not brought from a goy. A goy can bring a korban he buys an animal from a Jew, and he brings the korban right there. But an animal that's been by the goy, we're afraid that Averis were done with the cow, and we don't accept an animal from a goy. But in this case, they did. They brought the paros as an oilul Hashem. V'halavim harido es aron Hashem. The Levim took down the aron of Hashem. V'so argos asher itoy, and the box that was with it, asher bo klei zov, that had in the box all the gold vessels that they had put on. By a seamwell heaven agadolin, they put the wagon with the gold vessels, meaning the forms of the mice and the hemorrhoids, and they put that on the large stone. It was like they had a built platform. They had a place to put it. But anshe Beis Shemesh, and then the people of Beis Shemesh, helu oilois, they brought up oilois, by yizbuchu zvochim bayomahu, and they brought karbonis on that day, lashem for Hashem. It sounds, from the Pesukim that they did the right thing and that everything was fine. But we're going to see in a moment that the taina was, first of all, they saw the Aron, they were happy to see it, but it was a certain lightheadedness, a certain frivolity, it's like an interesting spectacle. It's here, they didn't see the Aron, now they do see the Aron. And they brought Karbonus, but even though they brought Karbonus, it wasn't considered to be enough of a... It wasn't considered to be enough. In other words, they should have done more, they should have stopped their work. Chazal say, they were bringing Karbonus at the same time, they were busy working on their harvest. They couldn't put down their tools in order to bring the Karbonus. It's sort of reminiscent of the famous Maisa with Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditchever. So, you know, somebody came and he mentioned, you know, he saw a wagon driver who was changing the wheel of his wagon while he was davening. He was davening, and while he was davening, he was changing the wheel of the wagon. So Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditchever says, such a halakha klal Yisrael, even when they change the wheels of the wagons, they're davening. You know what I mean? But that was, it's on one hand, it's a limud zchus. On the other hand, there was a taina that they should have, obviously it's better not to change the wagon while you're davening. We should look at others that way. It's a tremendous zchus for klal Yisrael. But there was a taina. V'chamisha sarni plishtim ro. The five governors of Plishtim saw all of this, by Yeshuvu Ekron by Yomahu, and they returned home to Ekron that day. In other words, it didn't influence them, it had no lasting effect. In other words, they were going to do a test, they did the test, it's clear it's because of the Aron, and they went back home. It stresses by Yomahu on that day, and the Meforshim take issue that they obviously traveled, or as they set up the cows and everything, it must have taken some time, they set it up in the morning. They traveled all the way, to Beis Shemesh. They watched what was going on as they cut up the wagon and they brought the karbonos. I don't know how long this whole procedure was. They saw the whole thing and they got back to Ekron the same day. So, you know, one day's work and then tomorrow's back to normal. It was even miraculous that if that's their attitude, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka, you know, let them get home in a day. Ve'ilat Chorei Azov. These are the golden hemorrhoids, Asher Yeshivu Plishtim Oshem Lashem, that the Plishtim returned as an Oshem, this guilt offering to Hashem. La'ashdod Echod. One for the city of Ashdod, La'aza Echod, La'ashkelon Echod, La'gas Echod, La'ekron Echod. These were the five cities of the Plishtim, and there were five governors. Each governor had a city. So for them, they had five of the Tchayrim. I guess that was out of the two, out of the mice and out of the hemorrhoids was considered a more, probably a more severe plague, because it was on the people, it was a more prominent makkah, and therefore they made five of these to correspond to their five governors. And as far as the people, the mice, the low-down mice, that was supposed to be for the populace. The Achbrei Azov and the golden mice, they're already, every city, since that was representing the people, Mispar Kol Orei Plishtim, the number of all the cities of the Plishtim, there were main five capital cities, but there were small villages and cities, Lechameshes Asronim, all the cities that were under control of these governors, Meir Mivso, where there was a fortified city, Va'ad Kofar HaProzi, or a village that has no wall around it, an open city, Va'ad Ovel HaGedola, all of the cities up to the place of Ovel HaGedola. Ovel HaGedola, sometimes in Tanakh, the letter Lamed is exchanged with the letter Nun. Ovel can be like Evan. And Rashi gives an example elsewhere, and say for Nehemiah, where you have that, the letters interchanged. So Poshet about Ovel Gedola means all the cities that were into their territory, right up to where they had this large stone and where the Jewish territory began, all the cities up to that point contributed to bring these golden mice. Of course, we're calling the word, instead of Evan, we're calling it Ovel. That sort of, it means mourning. It means a tragedy, because in that place of the big stone, Klal Yisrael got a tremendous punishment. So the place was called Ovel as a sign of mourning. And we'll see what happened in a moment. Why was the big tragedy at this place? But all the Plishti cities contributed Asher Hinichu Aleo Asaron Hashem, the Ovel Gedoyla, where they had placed the Aron, this large stone, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day, meaning until Shmuel wrote the Sefer, Bistei Yoshua Beis HaShimshi, it was in the field of Yoshua in Beis Shemesh. This place was known, this was the stone that where the Aron had been brought. Vayach ba'anshe Beis Shemesh. Now Hashem struck the people of Beis Shemesh. Ki ro'u ba'aroin Hashem, because they saw the Aron of Hashem. It actually doesn't say ki ro'u aroin Hashem. It says ki ro'u ba'aron Hashem. They saw like in the Aron. And the Malbim explains when you have the letter Beis before a word, it means to like see a deeper seeing and understanding and comprehension, like Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say Vayar Siv Losam. He saw the suffering of the Yidden. It doesn't say that. It says Vayar Bisiv Losam. He saw like in their suffering. In other words, it's a deeper feeling, a deeper understanding, a penetrating gaze into the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Or you have Urei Bituv Yerushalayim. Don't just see Tuv Yerushalayim, the goodness. See in the goodness. A person should comprehend and get the full goodness of Yerushalayim. Contemplate exactly what that is. Here was Vayar Ba'aron, Ba'aron Hashem. Again, a person's not below Yavo Liros Kavalas HaKadosh. The person's not allowed to look at the exposed Aron. And here they looked Ba'aron Hashem. They were like gazing and contemplating. And they're like, there was no like that awe, like a fear of looking at it. In other words, they should have covered their eyes, you know, with the Aron. And here they were just, you know, looking at it in a haphazard way. Ki aro baron Hashem, they looked at the Aron. As I say, they looked at the Aron, and they were, other Chazal mentioned the taina was that they kept on working while they were looking at the Aron. There's even a Chazal that says, the Gemara discusses this in Avodah Zorah, on Daf Chof Dalet, also that they were saying, and Gemara, this Perek is discussed in Avodah Zorah, it's discussed in Soita and Daf Lamed Hey. There's a Chazal that they were even speaking in a negative way about the Aron, in a derogatory way, which is hard for us to imagine. But they like said to the Aron, who angered you that you left? You know, what happened? Well, you know, who angered you that you left and you went to the Plishtim? And then who appeased you that you came back? For us learning it, it sounds so strange. But, you know, I was thinking about it. There's a certain, you know, not that it's done nowadays, but you can have sometimes a person says something, you know, you feel so comfortable. You still feel so comfortable with Yiddishkeit. Sometimes a person makes a comment, you know, a negative comment about Yiddishkeit because it's like part of you. You know, it's like a person makes fun of their own cooking, you know, or a person makes fun of, you know, that he has two left thumbs, you know, and people knock themselves. Sometimes a person, you know, the same way I knock myself. It's possible that people sometimes make a comment that's negative. But Vayach ba'anshe beis shemesh ki ro baron Hashem. Whatever the taina was, there was a blow against the people of Beis Shemesh because they saw the Aron. Vayach ba'om shivim ish, and Hashem struck in the people 70 men. Chamishim elef ish, 50,000 men. The Targum says, and it would simply mean 50,000 and 70. But if so, it should have said shivim v'chamishim elef ish. It shouldn't say ish twice, or just say shivim ish v'chamishim elef ish. It's like broken up into two different phrases. Vayach b'om shivim ish, 70 people, and then without any connecting letters, just 50,000 people. So that leaves the number of drushes. The Targum mentions the Zakenim, 70 of the elders were killed. From the regular people, the commoners, it was 50,000. Some learned 70 were killed, and each one of the 70 was as important as 50,000. Or 50,000 people died, and each one of the 50,000 was equal to the 70 of the Sanhedrin. But however the Pusik's darshan, there was a tremendous, tremendous blow. By Yis'ablu Ha'om, and the people mourned, Ki hiko Hashem ba'om maka gedola, because Hashem had struck among the people a tremendously great blow. Now the question was why? Obviously they had done things wrong. They probably weren't aware of themselves what exactly the taina was. Vayomer Anshe Beis Shemesh, so the people of Beis Shemesh says, Mi uchalamoid, who can stand up lifnei Hashem or Elohim before Hashem? It was Midas HaRachamim, but he's also Elohim, the Midas HaDin HaKadosh, the Holy One. Hazeh, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Realizing it could be it was a lack of their Kedusha, and they weren't on the Madrega to have the Aron resting among them. Perhaps that was the Taina. Vel mi yale me'aleinu. Or if maybe this is not an appropriate place for the Shechina. It's not that the people are not good, but we didn't put the Aron in the right place. So where should we bring the Aron? Or what should we do now? As we brought it here, obviously the Aron wanted to come back, and the cows brought it straight here. They saw the miracles, and yet there was, and yet they were punished. Is it them? Is it the place? Vayishlachu malachim. So they sent messengers. El Yoshve Kiryas Yorim Lamor to the people of Kiryas Yorim, saying, Eshivu Plishtim es Aron Hashem. The Plishtim have returned the Aron. Redu, come down. Halu Oso Aleichem, and bring the Aron up to you. And we'll see exactly what happened with Kiryas Yorim next week. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.